are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, or to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Worthy.
In him today. Let us turn to the 20th chapter of Acts. Very familiar verse, classic verse, we might say. Let's begin with Acts 20 and verse 27. Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Again, very familiar words, parting words, Paul's parting words to the Ephesian elders. Verse 32, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. I want to continue these messages showing forth divine grace as a power, not just an attribute of God. Here we find that power is to build you up. As we read, the word of his grace, which is able. In other words, it has the ability or the power to build us up. There are a number of different symbols or different expressions, the way that God's word is presented. we find that the law is certainly a part of God's word. Another one would be water, as we read of the washing of water by the word, telling us of the cleansing and the refreshing part, aspect of God's word. We read of it as a two-edged sword, cutting away flesh, indeed dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Here, his word is called the word of his grace. And the power is to build us up. We saw last week the wonderful power of divine grace to quicken the dead, or to literally raise the dead out of a state of being dead in trespasses and sins. We also saw such wonderful grace as the power to give us dominion over sin in our lives. As Scripture says there in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you, but because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. This same glorious power has been sent to build you up. The word power, or the word build you up, or build, that particular term, it literally means to construct. It means to confirm, to edify, to embolden. I thought that part was rather interesting because we see it, and of course, if the word of his grace is sent to do that, we see that in operation in the lives of the early apostles, because they were emboldened to preach, even though they were forbidden to preach in that name. Even though they were threatened with beatings and even martyrdom, they still had the boldness to step forth and to preach that wonderful name of Jesus. It's because, as we see from this verse, from this text, they had been built up by the word of his grace. And this is what I want to enlarge on today, is that the only way that God's people will be built up is by the word of his grace. It will not be by the word of his law, so to speak. It is only the word of divine grace that can accomplish that wonderful benefit for us. Let us turn for just a moment to the fifth chapter of Galatians, because sometimes men use the word of God as a hammer, oftentimes on other people, but when people use the word as the word of his law, it will rob them of what they could have had under the word of his grace. Here in Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatian Christians. They are Gentiles, but Judaizers have come down from Jerusalem trying to convince them that righteousness is come by the law. There is a great number of Christians in Christendom today who believe exactly the same thing, that they're going to improve their lives by using the law. Instead, it is a detriment to them. It is robbing them of what they could have if they simply believe and trust the word of his grace. Here in Galatians 5 and verse 2, Paul says it very emphatically, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised." It means if you put yourself under the law, what will happen? Christ shall profit you nothing. That is a horrible indictment and a great disadvantage to people who would put themselves under the law. Verse 4 is more. Christ is become of no effect unto you. The truth is, under divine grace, Christ motivates us every step of the way, every part of our lives. But under the law, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Notice further, whosoever of you are justified by the law, then he adds this, you are fallen from grace. It means you are no longer in the realm of grace to obtain the benefits that divine grace offers unto you. And so we are built up, not torn down, not destroyed, not annihilated as the word of the law will do. We are built up by the word of his grace. And all of those wonderful characteristics of construction in our lives, confirmation in our lives, edifying in our lives, emboldened to accomplish what God wants to do in our lives, all of this accomplished by the word of his grace. There are, I am sure, many ways and many expressions and many reasons for being built up. It is a general term, as we see. But in this message, I want to see two references who use exactly the same word that the Apostle Paul used here in Acts 20. Let us turn to the second chapter of Colossians. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ. How alone did anyone ever receive Christ? Only by divine grace. I'm pointing out here the same pattern that we have seen in these messages. It is all of divine grace. And so Paul goes on here, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. If you had to have the power of grace to be born again, to be quickened, to be raised from the dead out of trespasses and sins, as we saw last week, don't change anything. Walk in the same grace. That's what he's saying. Walk in the same thing. And then he enlarges upon that in verse 7. Rooted. Divine grace will send our roots down deep to where that we are stable. But the one I want to concentrate on, of course, is rooted and built up. According to Acts 20:32, the only way to do that is through the word of his grace. That is the only channel that will take us to this place of being built up in him. The word established is of the same basic meaning, we might say, as being built up. It means confirmed, stable, steadfast, sure. That's exactly what we need in our lives today, and only the word of his grace is going to be able to do it. We'll not turn there, but Jude exhorts the same thing in his little just before book of Revelation. He says it this way in verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And then he adds this, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let us understand that Jude wrote that little one chapter book in view of the days in which we are living right now, these very tumultuous, dangerous, perilous times. And Jude exhorts his hearers to build up yourselves on your most holy faith. And then he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Some people interpret that to mean praying in tongues. Well, you can pray in your own language in the Spirit too. You don't have to use tongues in order to pray in the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Ghost in this context? If you go back to John 16, we read these words, Jesus giving some final exhortations to his disciples. And he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Another place says he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I've said unto you. To pray in the Holy Ghost is to pray for a deep understanding of God's word, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. This is the way you build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying that God will give you understanding, deep understanding of the word of God, which is then turned to the faith. I have emphasized this quite a number of times down through the years. People talk about this faith, that faith, Muslim faith, this, all sorts of faith, sometimes faith connected with denominations and things of this nature. Scripture recognizes only one faith, the faith which is the faith of the Son of God. You will find it in God's word. And when we are built up in the faith, we are being built up in the wonders, the glorious principles of God's word. I want to notice again here, Paul introduces this in verse 6, as you have therefore received. That would be, once again, by divine grace. But I want to notice, Paul does not mention the word of his grace or grace, the term grace at all, but the characteristics that he mentions here are indeed of the word of his grace. He tells us in verse 7, built up in him, established in the faith, notice, as you have been taught. And some of what they have been taught begins in verse 11. These describe, these define, they are the same characteristics as the word of his grace. We saw a number of them last week with the quickening power, the resurrection power of divine grace. Verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. As we noted from Romans 5 and 6, it's a reference to the cross where divine grace cut us off in Christ and raised us up with him in newness of life. Keep in mind, these messages that we are preaching in this series deal with the power of divine grace, and it is a literal dynamic power that will bring forth definite results in our lives. The first, as we saw, quickened out of the death state, out of trespasses and sins. We also saw this same grace power will give us victory over any sin that we might have in our lives, any addiction we might have. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you are not under the law. You are under grace. Grace is a power, not just some pretty thing to talk about. It's a dynamic power in our lives. And that's what Paul is talking about. Notice further. You're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Why? It's because sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under the law, but under grace. Only grace, the power of grace, can bring that about. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, you're risen with him through the operation of God. Verse 13, dead in your sins, your flesh has been quickened together with him, forgiving you trespasses. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that is the law. Divine grace dealt with law so that you're no longer under law, you are under grace, and therefore have this glorious dominion of which we spoke. It is so important for us to realize then, in verse 7, rooted, built up in him. That can come only through the word of his grace, that marvelous power. Let's go to the second reference that used this same word of being built up. 1 Peter, 5th chapter. I'm sorry, the second chapter, verse 5. First Peter 2:5, and once again, we notice exactly the same pattern. You also, as lively or living stones. We only became a living stone because we were quickened by the grace of God out of the grave with Christ. You also, as living stones. But Peter, like Paul, tells us, don't stop there. Yes, you are alive forevermore and always will be. But divine grace continues to teach us that there is more and more and more and more if we simply follow the same pattern of the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. This is the first thing. It is a spiritual house rather than a carnal or a fleshly house. Those people in Corinth and in Galatia, they were living stones, but they were not a spiritual house. They were carnal because they had this deficit in their lives. They had never really been built up by the word of his grace. And so you will notice that the word of his grace is the same channel that we saw there in Acts 20. And these are the results. Built up a spiritual house. One that has been designed, ordained by God, giving forth those things which are indeed of the spirit rather than of the flesh. And holy priesthood. This term, as Peter was writing to Jewish Christians, Hebrew Christians. Being an holy priesthood is a national thing, which will be fulfilled in its entirety during the millennium. In other words, Israel as a nation is going to be God's holy priesthood here on the earth. It will be this nation that will lead all the rest of the nations, teaching them the ways of God, teaching them how to worship, teaching them how to come to the Lord, teaching them how to please him. Just in general, God's royal priesthood here upon the earth, leading all of these nations in righteousness. Right now, there are those who would absolutely laugh at that, but I don't care. The scripture claims it to be so, and it will happen. Israel as a nation will be born in one day, and they will be God's royal priesthood here upon this earth. But let us also call our attention to the fact that there is a royal priesthood also out of the church. Revelation 5 tells us, "Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on or over the earth." That same place of dominance given unto the church, but the church is a heavenly body, while Israel will be reigning over the nations on the earth. The kings and the priests are a reference to the four living ones and the 24 elders of Revelation 4. The elders have crowns on their heads. That marks them as being kings. The living ones are presented as the priests. They are the ones who reflect the priestly ministry of Christ in themselves, as he is presented there as the, the ox and the eagle and the other two that are there, four actual faces, the face of a man, the face of a lion. That reflects the priestly ministry of Christ. Their priestly ministry is also reflected in these words. They had eyes before and behind and within. It tells us of priests who see exactly as God does. Behind tells us of the past. Before tells us of the future. Within tells us of the present. God's people, because of this wonderful building up of the word of his grace, can have that full array of sight, that full array of understanding of all God's purposes, past, present, and future. All of that is seen in the priestly ministry that God is able to produce in us when we too are built up by the word of his grace. Notice further, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. There's only one sacrifice that God has ever been interested in. That's the sacrifice of Christ. This is what he's looking for in the lives of his priests today. Those who have that same sacrificial Christ, where that they are willing to give themselves to God's purposes exactly as Jesus did. That is a spiritual sacrifice because it is motivated by the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is produced in us as we are built up by the word of his grace. And then we find acceptable to God. There must come a time in our own lives when the only thing we are interested in, insofar as our conduct is concerned, is God pleased with it. Anyone can strive for the attention and for the acceptance of men, what they're doing, all of these various things, but in the final analysis, the only acceptance that we can be interested in, does God accept it? And this can only be produced once again as we are built up in the word of his grace. And then we come to Peter's final statement here. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It is all centered around the word of his grace, which we have seen before is in Christ Jesus. And so today, all of this is only possible because of the grace that is in Christ. It was John who said that described Christ being among us full of what? Grace and truth. This is the same Christ. As we are built up in the word of his grace, we are built up in order to experience all of these things. And so it is imperative for us to receive the word of his grace as a power in our own lives to produce all these results. And we will see that there is much more coming.